Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
No, honey, you didn't wet your bed. You wet their bed. Probably one of the greatest lines we can introduce this topic today with. It's the idea of an owner versus a renter. Are you owning the process or are you just renting the process? You see, if it had been her bed, they would have had a nice plastic cover over it, then the sheet, and when she wet the bed, they would have just took the sheet off, wiped up, put a new sheet on. But since it's not her bed, it's not their bed, they just walk out the door and leave the owner to clean up the mess, right? And so it's that idea of, am I an owner of the process? Am I an owner of what I'm doing, or am I a renter? Am I just going through the motions? I don't have any responsibility. I love the scene where the wife of the owner is sitting there on the couch, and the other wife comes down the stairs, and she says, "You have great closets." And the owner's wife, she says, "Oh, yes, it makes life so much easier." Now think about that. Why would she engage this strange person who's in her house, who's talking about her closets? Why? Because she owns her closets. How many women have a walk-in closet? How many of you let your men in it? Yeah, right. Yeah, they don't. It's your closet. You own the closet. You own that process. It's where you live. Now, men, how many of you could care less about the closet? Except to make your wife happy, right? Happy wife, happy life. And so this is the idea. See, you're an owner or a renter even in your relationships. If you're a renter in your relationships, you don't care whether your wife's happy or not. And your life is normally not very happy. And so you have this idea. If I'm going to own the process, if I'm going to own what takes place in our life, then I am going to make sure that I take care of my spouse. I'm going to make sure that I take care of my kids. I'm going to make sure that I take care of my job. I'm going to make sure that I take care of my responsibility. That's an owner's mentality. I actually work for an apartment complex. And this is my first experience doing maintenance for an apartment complex. And so it's definitely a culture shock for me. I hadn't rented in many years. And the apartments that I rented then were actually pretty nice. And so this is a new process for me. And I realized after being here I started in December. And so I've been there for about 6 months. And I realized there really is no owner in this complex. Let that sink in. There is no owner in the rental business. Well, somebody owns the apartments, yes, but they have no intentions of owning them for life. Here's how it works. They're going to buy this property. They're going to buy these doors, if you will, because every door is a profit. They're going to buy these doors, and they're going to use these doors until they're no longer usable, and then what are they going to do? Sell them. So they're going to put as little money into the apartment complex as possible in order to get the biggest profit as possible, and then they're going to bail just before somebody comes in and closes them down or somebody else buys them out and puts some money into them to do it all over again. So a lot of times you think there's an owner, but there really is no owner because the owner really doesn't care about the property. And neither does the renter. You see, as a maintenance guy, I got to go around and inspect all the different units. And so we pay the water bill as the complex. We pay the water bill. So how many renters do you think actually call in and say, "Hey, my tub's leaking. Hey, my toilet runs all the time. Hey, my sink is running all the time." Here's what they call in for. My tub don't drain. My sink don't drain, or my toilet don't flush. But they could care less whether the water's running or not. Now, I care about that because it comes out of my paycheck, so to speak, right? I don't get a raise if I don't do my job. And so there's no owner in this process. And so a lot of times what we think is an owner really isn't an owner because nobody really has the responsibility that they need to have. And we think, well, that's got to be just something new. It's got to be something that's just recently. I mean, look at our culture now. Who takes responsibility in our culture? Not many people. I mean, we really have a culture where responsibility, where ownership, where engagement really isn't talked about. It isn't pushed. And so we're going to talk about this idea of being engaged in the process. When you talk about the apartment, nobody really owns it. When you talk about your house, how many house owners do we have? You own your house. Are you engaged in that process? What happens when the sink starts leaking? You fix it, or you get somebody in to fix it. Why? Because it comes out of your pocket. You like to eat. You like to drive your car. If you've got to do all this other stuff, if you wait, how many of you know what a hot water tank is? What do you do when it starts leaking? Fix it, especially if it's in the attic, right? See, as renters, the hot water tank starts leaking. Nobody ever tells us until the guy beneath them gets wet. Then we find out the hot water tank. See, as an owner, we have this mentality. We're going to do the necessary maintenance for our investment. But we're not just going to wait till something breaks, are we? We're going to change our HVAC filters. Why? Because I like to be cool in the summer. We're going to change that filter every month or every 3 months. How many put a date on your filter to know when you didn't change it? Right? I always forget. I'm not a structured person. I'm a free spirit, so I always forget. And so I got to put little things in my phone that says change filter. Why? Because I know that if the HVAC breaks, it's a costly repair. I don't want to have to repair it. I'd rather prevent that. And so we have preventive maintenance. And so this isn't a new idea. In fact, when Jesus was walking this earth, he came up on this mentality of this owner versus renter. And it was with the leaders of the culture. It was with the leaders of the Jewish religion. It was with the leaders of the Jewish faith. And in John chapter 2, verses 13 through 16, we see this mentality come out when Jesus is coming to the Passover for the first time in his ministry time of his life. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. The Passover is here. And the Passover was a time when everybody that was a Jew would travel into Jerusalem. It was a special time where they would worship the Lord, where they would seek forgiveness. And so the streets were packed. There was just people everywhere. And so we find this in John chapter 2. Jesus says, it says this, the Passover of the Jews was near. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, money changers seated at their tables. And he made a whip and he drove all of them out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. He poured out the coins. He drove out the money changers, if you will. He drove out the marketplace. And he said this, take these things away. Stop doing this because this isn't what my Father's house was created for. Now you think, well, how is that renting and owning? Well, let me put it in these terms. How many have ever been to a professional sporting event? NASCAR, football, doesn't matter. You've been to you're going to go into the stadium, you're going to go into the field, you're going to go into, what's going on outside of that place? Everybody's selling everything, right? Now, you can go to the store, you can go to Kroger, you can go to Harris Teeter, you can go to Walmart, you can go anywhere and you can buy a case of water for how much? Yeah, $3, $4. When you go to one of those events, how much are you going to pay for a bottle of water? $3, $5, $7. Why? Because they don't care about you. Right? I mean, they don't. They don't care about you. What do they care about? Profit. You're trying to get in the event, and they're trying to pick your pockets before you ever get there. Right? When you get in there, do those people really care about you? One of the tenants is a Colts fan. I don't know who you're. I don't have a fan. I'm not for anybody really. But he's a Colts fan, so he's going home, and he was saying, we are going to the Super Bowl next year, and I've got to go to Indianapolis to be there the first day of training, so I can make sure we are there for the Super Bowl. Now, do you really think the Colts even know who he is? Number one, he's deaf. And I don't mean that in a bad way. He is really hard. I knock on his door as hard as I can, and I open the door, and he still doesn't hear me. I go in his apartment most days to fix things, and he sleeps through me being there. So they don't even know who he is. They don't know he even exists. But he feels like he owns the Indianapolis Colts. He's a part of that organization. So many times, owners and renters are misunderstood. More times than not, we have a renter's mentality. We go to a sporting event and our pockets are pipped. When you look at the Passover, that's the idea. These people were coming from far and wide. They were coming to Jerusalem. They were coming to worship. They were coming to a place where they could connect with God. And the leaders of that culture said, we don't care about you. Instead of preparing a place for you to worship, we're going to pick your pockets before you ever get there. If you think about the inner and the outer temple, there was a place where only Jews could go. That would be like in here. Only Jews could come in here. And then it was a place where everybody else, and it would be on the other side of this wall, everybody else could come into there. They could come into the outer place, but they couldn't come into the inner place where worship was for the Jews and the Jews only. And so what happened was the leaders took that place out there and began ripping everybody off. So you had to bring an animal for sacrifice based on various things. You had to bring an animal. You had to bring something to sacrifice. And here's what they would go. There's a blemish in that one. It's not quite good enough. So you need to take that one away and buy one from here. And then they would take the one that you took away and they'd put it back in the line and they'd sell it to somebody else because there really wasn't anything wrong with it. You see, they didn't care about the individual. What they cared about was lining their pockets. They were renters. We have no vested interest in the temple. What we have a vested interest is in our own stakes, our own abilities. And so we have this idea that they're just renting the place. And Jesus says, enough of this. Jesus comes on the scene and he goes down there. He's probably seen this for years before this because Jesus made the trek. Remember at the young age, he was there in the temple and he saw all of this. And so when it came time for his ministry to begin, he was probably fed up with the way the leaders were treating the people. And so he comes into the temple and he drives it out. He clears it out. And he says, I'm going to take responsibility for what goes on here. I'm going to take responsibility. This is not what my Father created this for. This is not the purpose of this place. This is not where this is supposed to take place. And this is going to be my Father's house from this point forward. He took ownership. He took responsibility for what was taking place in that place of worship. I don't know about you. I'm a person that gets engaged in life. The apartment complex that I work in, I don't live there. And I'm ashamed. When I first started working there, I was ashamed that people were put into those positions. And I'm not trying to brag, but I could leave that place tomorrow and get a better job. But there's injustice going on. And I cannot walk away from that because if I'm not willing to speak for them, who is? And so I have set out and I've had the owner's representative to the company there and we're making some significant changes. But we had an incident about a month and a half ago and it really frustrated me. I'm bending over backwards to make a change here because I want to engage in the process. If I'm gonna work there, I want it to be the best apartment complex on the peninsula. And so we had an incident and I'm taking out some trash and I'm walking back to the apartment where I was cleaning up and a young man walked past me and he had a bandana over his face. He had his shirt up. So all I could see was his eyes. It was hot out. Thought it was kind of strange, but didn't think much about it. You see some strange things go on there. And as he walked by me, there was a gun in his waistband. Let me just ask this question. What would you have done? I don't know if there's the right answer. I'm just asking you, what would you have done? For me, there was no question. Immediately picked up the phone, called 911. It rang 17 times. I hung up. Called 911 again. It rang another 17 times. I have the police programmed in my phone because I'm engaged in life. I want my neighborhood to be safe. I want the neighborhood where I work to be safe. I am engaged in life. I'm not going to be a renter. I'm going to be an owner. And so as I'm making the phone calls, I'm watching this young man. A car had driven up. Three people in the car, driver, a passenger in the passenger seat, and a passenger behind the driver. As this guy comes up, he's pulling out the gun. The passenger gets out. Somehow the passenger in the back seat squeezes out behind the driver. These two pull guns, and they're ambushing the driver. So I call dispatch. I have them programmed in my phone. 911 won't call, answer. I'm going to call directly. And when I call directly, three shots are fired, and I call and say, you got to get out here right now. The lady said, I'm going to put you on hold. I said, no, you're not going to put me on hold. There's shots being fired. Somebody's going to die if you guys don't get here. That's being engaged in life. It's not my neighborhood. It's not my community, but it is my world, and I don't want that taking place there. They missed. I don't know how. No joke. This far, they missed. Here's what upset me. Police show up, and I mean they show up in droves. There were people that live in that complex that witnessed this. They were all renters. Not a single one of them would give a statement. None. You know what happened the next week? Guy got shot. Didn't die. Here's the funny story. They told the cops they were ambushed. They were taking selfies in the bathroom. The gun went off and shot himself in the leg. But a guy got shot. You see, when the renter mentality is there, a lot of times anything goes. With an owner mentality, it's a different world. And so we've got to make a shift in this mentality. The Jewish leaders were like, hey, it's no big deal. Your lamb doesn't meet the expectations. You sell it to him. You buy a new one. Oh, yeah, we're going to sell your lamb later. Anything goes. You see, the Gentiles had no place to worship because it was a marketplace. And Jesus said, enough. Jesus later on goes and gives an analogy of this. In John chapter 10 and verses 11 through 13, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. He'll make statements all along about being a shepherd and the people being sheep. And he says it many times, he says, they're like sheep with no shepherd. But here Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In this place, there is no threat. There is nothing that is being faced, that they're faced with, that is specific. Jesus says, it doesn't matter the circumstances of life. I will lay down my life for the sheep. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of life. No matter what comes along, it doesn't matter. I will lay down my life. And then he says, he who is hired is not a shepherd, is not the owner of the sheep. He sees a single wolf come along. And all you see is his tail end in the dust as he runs away. One wolf is not that big of a threat. Jesus says he's got a renter's mentality. He's not responsible for him. It doesn't affect him in any way. If that wolf comes and takes a sheep, it's not going to take me. It's going to take a sheep. And so he runs away. And Jesus says, you shouldn't be like that. You see, an owner sacrifices everything, and a renter will rarely sacrifice anything. A renter will rarely sacrifice anything. An owner accepts responsibility, and a renter denies and avoids responsibility. It's not my problem. And so many people go through life and say, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. How many have ever rented a car? Here's another good example. How many of you own a rental car, a previous rental car? Oh. Go to Google and type in, rental car Olympics, and you'll see what rental cars go through. And I've rented cars. So here's the phrase that if you're an owner, you'll never say, and if you're a renter, you'll always say just about. You're in your rental car. It's not yours. You have no responsibility. You'll say, watch this. And what follows is usually not good. You'll say, oh, look, there's 10 feet of water. Let's see if the rental car can go through it. How many of you know a Prius is an off-road vehicle? It is if it's a rental. Why? Because it's not mine. It's just how it is. It's not mine. If you've purchased a rental car, you're probably asking yourself, wonder what this car's been through. Because here's the thing. The rental company you bought the car from, they never owned the car. They're no different than a rental. They're going to keep that car as long as it makes some money. As soon as it doesn't make them money, they're going to get rid of it. They never had any vested interest in the car. They just here today, gone tomorrow. How many got teenagers? Teenagers are renters. Teenagers will get in the car with other teenagers and they'll say, hey, watch this. How many teenagers watch the TV shows where they drift? Your mama's Cadillac will drift. You probably ought not do it. So it's this idea of it's not mine. I have no responsibility in it. So anything goes. How many of you have ever bought a new car? What's the first thing you tell your kids? Don't eat in it. Don't touch it. Right? Why? Because there's vested interest in it. You want it to last. You want it to fulfill the needs that you bought it for. You purchased it for a purpose, and you want it to fulfill those needs. And so you want to keep it as best as possible. Your kids usually don't understand that until when? They get their own. They get their own. Right? I'm not against giving my kids cars. I have given my kid a car, my son. I'm not against it. It usually doesn't work because there's no vested interest in it. If they have to work for their car, what do? They baby it. How many of you seen the commercial where it's an insurance commercial where the baby is the car? Oh, yeah. Ooh, you got to make sure. Oh my gosh, I crashed the baby. Why? Because when you got vested interest in it, you want to make sure that you take care of it the best that you can. That's an owner's mentality. And so life change can't happen around you until life change happens within you. Until you move from a renter's mentality to an owner's mentality, nothing will change. But you say, but she won't change or he won't change. You can't change him anyway. How many wives realize you can't change your husband? How many husbands realize you can't change your wife? How many of you husbands say, I'm never getting married again because I don't feel like being trained again? Right? Yeah, that's how I am. I told my wife, I'm never getting married again if something happens because I don't feel like getting trained again. But you can't change the other person. The only thing you can change is you. And so until you move from a renter's mentality to an owner's mentality, nothing is going to change around you. And when you change, nothing may change around you. But it's going to change within you. And that's all the difference in the world. Here's some things. This idea doesn't just happen in one place or another place. It happens in every place. How many of you have heard this phrase at work? Good enough for government work. Renter's mentality. It's good enough. Or you got the clock watcher, right? They're constantly looking at the clock and waiting for the next break or the time to go home. Or how many are looking forward to going to work tomorrow? Yeah, you should be. You should be looking forward. Why? Because God gave you a job to make a difference, to make it for a specific purpose in this world, and you should be looking forward to it, not going, yeah, man, I wish it was Friday again. Renter's mentality. You know, you have that same mentality in your relationships, whether it's a marriage or whether it's friendship or no matter what it is, you have that same mentality in your friendships, in your relationships. We started out joking, happy wife, happy life. There's a lot of truth in that. Man, here's what I'll tell you, and I know this from experience. You come to me afterwards, and I'll share anything that I can with you. If you treat your wife like the queen that God gave you, she'll always treat you like a king. But if you treat her any other way, you deserve what you get. That's an owner's mentality. God entrusted me with Kelly Gorman, now she's Kelly Gill, and I will treat her with respect and with dignity, with the cherishing that she deserves. Why? Because God entrusted her with me, and I will treat her that way regardless of how she treated me. And here's what I'll tell you. Maybe you can't change the other person, but the change in you might lead them to change. And that's what happened between Kelly and I, because I treated Kelly like dirt when we first got married. It never mattered what I did to her. She always treated me with respect. She always treated me with dignity. And over time, I began to realize I need to change. She didn't change me, but she always owned our marriage. And I rented for many years. She always owned it. Peter is a great example of this mentality. In John chapter 18 and verse 10, all throughout the walk with Jesus, Peter has this mentality of a renter. I'm going to walk on water, but I'm going to turn my eyes and sink. I'm going to go everywhere you go, Jesus. In fact, I will die for you, Jesus. And a few minutes later, Jesus is being arrested, and Peter pulls out his sword, and he slices off the ear of the soldier trying to arrest Jesus. And Jesus says, wait, Peter, that isn't the way this is going to go down. And Peter shot out of there. See, a renter mentality is, if it doesn't go my way, then I'm hitting the highway. I'm in as long as it's what I want to do, but if it's not what I want to do, then I'm out of here, and that's a renter's mentality. We see that three more times on this very evening. Peter is approached, still in John chapter 18, he's approached, and this girl says, hey, you're with Jesus, right? And he's on the outside. He's not in the court, but he's on the outside. He says, I don't even know him. And then later on, he's approached again. Hey, you're one of his disciples. I don't know Jesus. I don't even know who that is. Hey, you're one of them. No, I'm not one of them. And Peter had this renter mentality. I'm in as long as it's my way, but otherwise I'm going to be on the fringes. I'm going to stay out here. I'm going to be where it's safe. And that third time that rooster crowed, Peter remembered what Jesus said. He left. But all was not forgotten. There's a lot of things that take place in between there, but one thing that happens is Peter goes back to fishing. That's what he knew. That's where he was at. That's where he owned. They're out fishing one night. They're not catching much. Jesus comes up, hey, cast your nets over here. They pull in a big load of fish. Peter realizes who it is. He leaves the boat. He jumps in the water, and his life is never the same. He gets to the shore. Jesus forgives him, and Peter says, if you will, I will never be a renter again. I will be an owner. Now think about what happens after that. Peter goes on to preach one of the most powerful sermons of all history. In one message, 3,000 people's lives were changed for eternity. Let me ask you this. What would you give to preach that message? I mean, honestly, what would you give to do that? Not only does he do that, Peter then is faced with all these persecutions. People want to beat him up. They tell Peter, hey, you cannot speak in this man's name ever again. And Peter says, I'm not here to please you. I'm not here for you for that reason. I'm here for him. And I will speak and say what he tells me to speak. And whatever the circumstances of life that may come, I will accept them because I'm an owner of this process now. Peter eventually goes on. He dies for Jesus. One of the greatest things an owner will ever do is sacrifice himself for the cause. What about you? What? Maybe you're in a relationship right now that's struggling. Just ask yourself this question. Am I owning my responsibility or am I just renting? Am I really engaged in this process to the point where change is going to take place in me, or is there an escape plan in place that I'm willing to accept? See, that's a renter's mentality. I'm here for the long haul. I'm not leaving. My wife will tell you from day one, she would tell you that divorce was never an option. And I'm telling you, I didn't treat her worth anything. She owned the process. What about at work? Are you constantly looking for a better job? There's something better out there for me. There's something that God's got to have something better for me out there. I obey him. I do everything. Or are you owning the process where you're at? I'm going to do the best. I'm going to give a great day's work for a great day's pay, whether it pays great or not. I mean, are you owning it? Are you? Let me ask you this. Are you coming here on Sundays just to feel good on Mondays? Or you come here to say, this isn't Steve's church. This isn't Pastor Steve's church. This isn't Pastor Alex's church. This isn't Pastor Bobby's church. This isn't Pastor Chris's church. This is my church. I come here because I am vitally important to the ministry here, and I'm engaged and I'm involved, and if something doesn't go right, I'm going to fix it. Let me give you an example as I close. This morning, I went to Starbucks on the way in here. Okay, I got my habits too. And I get out of my car, and there's a cup full of Mountain Dew on the ground. The workers were already there. Both of their cars were right next to mine. Neither one of the workers picked it up. I'm an engaged person. What do you think I did? I pick it up. Why? Because I'm a resident of the United States of America, and I care what this place looks like. I'm an owner. I care about so much more than just me. I'm an owner. What about you? Are you a renter or are you an owner this morning? Father, we love you and we give you praise. We thank you so much for who you are, who you've called us to be. Father, we thank you that Jesus was so much more than just a renter. We thank you that as he walked on this earth, he looked at all the injustices that were going on. He looked at the people and said, they don't have a leader. He looked at the people and said, they need a leader. Father, he just didn't let things go, but he made changes. He cleared out the temple so people could have a place to worship. And Father, so much more than that. When it came to our sins, Jesus took ownership. He would look at all the things of this world and he would say, I love them, Father. Despite anything that they've done, I have loved them. And so, Father, this morning, we just want to acknowledge the fact that your love is greater than anything else. That you are so engaged in our life that you call us out of darkness into light. You're so engaged in our life that you sent your Son to demonstrate ownership for us. And so, Father, this morning, I would pray that it, as we sit here and we think about this mentality, that we really look at our own lives and figure out where we're renting and where we're owning. That we take the necessary steps to be owners over renters. That we take responsibility, that we're engaged in our relationships, we're engaged in our work, we're engaged in our church, we're engaged in every aspect of life. That we might bring glory to your kingdom and a change to our community. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.